Hello and welcome back to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Jewish philosophy, always uncovering new layers we did not know existed before. I'm your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel from Richardson, Texas. As always, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, or future topic requests, you can always reach me at thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. So today's episode was generously sponsored by Kevin and Sabrina Burke in memory of Kevin's father, whose sixth yahrzeit was just a few days ago. The Torah that we share today should be a real merit for the soul of Jeffrey Ira Burke, Yitzchak Yodel Ben Zelig. This week's Torah portion discusses the last three plagues that God did to the Egyptians, ending with the liberation of the Jews from their Egyptian bondage. And if you look in the middle of the Parsha, at the beginning of chapter 12, it's right before the 10th and final plague. There's a seemingly random side discussion between God and Moses and Aaron. What happens in this discussion is God gives Moses, and really through him and Aaron to the entire Jewish people, the mitzvah and the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the sanctification of the new moon. In Judaism, we follow a lunar solar calendar, which means that the months are all based completely straight on the moon cycle, but we have built-in adjustments in order to keep the months in their proper seasons. So basically, the lunar calendar will end up having 11 days less per year than the solar calendar. So if we would never adjust it, the months would slowly shift further back and further back each year. So in order to keep the months in their proper seasons, for example, to keep Passover in the springtime when it's supposed to take place, we add in an extra month, which is the Jewish leap year, and we do that 7 out of every 19 years in order to balance the lunar and solar calendars. So the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is the mitzvah that's really on basin on the central head rabbinical courts of the Jewish nation, and they had a job to declare the new month. Basically, whenever there was a new moon, witnesses would come and say, we saw there was a new moon. They'd come to the head court, and the court would say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. The court would say, it's officially now a new month. So the question basically is, what's this doing here? We're in the middle of the plagues. We're about to finish the plagues. Why is God interrupting this story in order to give the Jewish people, to give Moses, this mitzvah? But there's really another layer to this, which is that although God has given individuals mitzvahs before, for example, he told Abraham to circumcise himself as well as his children, Jacob also, the Torah said over there, the mitzvah of Gid HaNasha, of not eating a certain sinew. But on a national level, this is actually the very first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a nation. And in Jewish philosophy, we have a concept that the first of anything implies a higher significance. The first time a letter is written in the Torah, the first time a word appears in the Torah, these are all significant and they're all indicators of a deeper meaning behind that letter, that word. The first child, the Bechor, has a very significant role in the family. So what is the deeper significance to this mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon that God chooses this to be the very first mitzvah given to the Jewish nation? So I think on a basic level, if we were to just think about what the moon represents, let's compare the sun and the moon for a second. The sun is always the same. It rises in the east, it sets in the west, day in, day out. Okay, days are a little longer in the summer than the winter, but more or less the sun is really the example of a natural force that's just continual, never changing, same thing every single day. The moon, on the other hand, waxes and wanes. It has its ups and its downs. It represents the concept of change, the concept of renewal. Sometimes it's shining its light, and then other times it's completely hidden and almost looks non-existent. But eventually it comes back again and shines its light and completely lights up the dark night sky. In this metaphor, the Jewish nation is compared to the moon in many places. That same concept of we have our ups and our downs on a national level, on an individual level. We have our rises to power when we have the temple and times were great. We had other times of complete national exile and decimation. Our history is full of ups and downs, much more like the waxing and waning of the moon than the consistent cyclical nature of the sun. So I think on the most basic level, the concept of the new moon represents the history of the Jewish people, our ups and our downs, eventually, like the moon, always coming back and returning to light up the night sky. And I think that's really, that really is the basic idea. But I want to share with you today a beautiful concept that really goes a little bit deeper than the basic level. And I want to suggest that really this mitzvah, the mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon, is really representative of the Jewish nation's new role and what's about to happen to them and this role they're about to take in the course of world history. If we think about it on a little bit more of a meta level, what was about to go down in Egypt? The Jewish nation was on the brink of Exodus, which was for the purpose, as our rabbis say, we left the shibud of Paro, we left the servitude of Paro, of Pharaoh, and we entered into the servitude of God. The purpose of the Exodus, and really the whole slavery, was to eventually get to the Mount Sinai experience and receive the Torah. What really happened when the Jews got the Torah? Was it just another giving of law, basically the receiving of our Constitution? Obviously, it was much more than that. What really happened was this transformational change in the entire structure of the world. Rav Huttner explains that the Torah is really the power plant of the world. And in as long as the Torah was still in heaven, it wasn't given yet to the world, there was really no way to influence the greater world picture from down here, from our world. So Hashem was basically just controlling everything, giving humanity whatever they needed, whenever they needed it. But once the Torah was handed over, once the Torah was given to the Jewish nation, it wasn't just a law book that now we knew what to do. It was a giving over, a passing of the reins to the world, giving over the keys to the power plant that sustains the world. Now if the Jewish nation takes this Torah and they keep it and they spread it to the world, deliver the light unto the nations, positivity, blessings, greatness enters the world. And if God forbid not, then the opposite. But the control of the whole fate of humanity and of the world was changed from all being in God's hands to the Jewish people's hands. That was really the bigger picture transformation of the Sinai experience, was rather than living off of the free gifts of God's good and God just giving us life, God now gave us the ability to earn it ourselves and to control our fate inherently. So let's bring it all back now. What does this have to do with the concept of sanctifying the new months? There's an unbelievable passage in the Talmud of Rosh Hashanah that really connects all of the dots here. So what exactly was the process of sanctifying the new moon? So basically what happened was, eyewitnesses that saw there being a new moon would come to the main Jewish court, the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, and they would testify as to exactly what they saw. The rabbis validated scientifically that what they saw was correct. And then the court would say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. In essence, the court would declare it a new month. Now, what happens if the court messes up? What if they err in their calculation on when the new month is? Now, there's a lot of significance to this because think about it for a second. All of the Jewish calendar and all the Jewish holidays are all dependent on the day of the month it is. So let's take Pesach, for example. The holiday of Passover, we know, is the 15th day of the month of Nisan. On that day, you have to eat matzah. And not just you have to eat matzah, but you're prohibited from eating bread. While on the 14th of Nisan, the day earlier, you're allowed to eat bread, and you actually shouldn't even eat matzah. So if the court messes up, what do we do? Which day is actually Passover? Which day is the one we're allowed to eat bread on? Which one's the one we have to eat matzah on? So the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah says an unbelievable idea that the Torah is teaching us in the Parsha, in the Torah portion of sanctifying the new month. It learns that even if the court messes up, Hashem follows the court's decisions. Once Hashem, once God gave them the power to sanctify the new month, they literally control time. And when they declare it's the first of the month, then 15 days after that is when you have to make your Seder. It's when you have to bring your Paschal Lamb, when you have to eat matzah. And same with all the other months. When they declare it's the first day of Tishrei, that's when it becomes Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem will sit with his tribunal and he'll determine the fate of each person, because that is when the Jewish court said today is Rosh Hashanah. And if they would change that by a day, God would follow. God will judge the people exactly when the Jewish courts declare Rosh Hashanah to be. And 10 days later will be Yom Kippur. And that's even if they realize that they made a mistake. This is the deeper significance to this mitzvah, to this commandment of sanctifying the new moon. The mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon on a deeper level represents the passing over of the reins of time to the Jewish people. It began the process of giving over the power plant, giving over the influences of spiritual blessings and flows into the world that culminated at Mount Sinai with the giving of the Torah. This started that process. This is really the first stage of the Jewish nation as they're becoming a nation, saying you're being created in a way that controls time and controls the fate of the world. I hope this brought you new meaning to the mitzvah of Mekiddush HaChodesh, of sanctifying the new moon. This concludes this episode of the Thinking Jew podcast. As always, I would love to hear feedback from you. If you have any questions or comments, I can always be reached at thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. Have an amazing week.